Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them's as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
you guys sent me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have two very special guests, and we're going to talk all about how do you manage a community association. These two portfolio experts are going to tell us how they can manage multiple board members with multiple associations, while at the same time staying friendly, positive, professional, and most importantly, keeping their boards in compliance with the association documents and Florida law. How does a portfolio manager keep track of all those action items? What about the non-compliances and the delinquencies? I mean, that's a lot of balls to juggle at one time. Well, it takes a unique person to be a good portfolio manager, and we have two of the best right here and right now to tell us all about the managers, tell us all about their managing associations while at the same time having a life without drugs. Right, guys?
Yes, right. Sir.
All right, folks, with us today, in my own words, are two excellent community property managers, and I'm very proud to say they both work for Ameritech. I'll start out with Chris Kelly. She came to us well over 10 years ago with a strong background in legal collections and foreclosures. She first started out in marketing, but then got licensed and moved into property management, where she excelled due to her excellent communication and follow-through skills. She is now our Hillsborough and Polk County branch manager, so I'm happy to have her here. And along with her is Bob Kelly. And just like Chris, he possesses great skills in the areas where it counts, and that's communication and follow-through. Bob came to work for us many years ago, but before that, he was an owner and operator of his own business, masonry business, specializing in masonry construction and in concrete, as well as stone and brick veneers. We're so lucky to have him on board with us and on the show today. So welcome to the show, Chris and Bob.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
It's nice to be here.
Now, they are brother and sister, so we're going to call them Donnie and Marie at least one time.
Right? No, that's not the case, but it sounds good. They're just as cute, though. So, guys, how do you deal with all the different personalities of a board? I mean, we have all these different communities, and with each one comes their own unique personality and their ways and their agendas. So I imagine it's got to be difficult juggling all that and being, good to everybody and performing well in their eyes, I should say.
Yeah, it is very challenging. And another challenge is it changes year to year. So a homeowner that you're dealing with on an issue.
On a non-compliance issue, maybe. Could be the next year could be a violation,
or it could be, you know.
They're not paying their assessments, and now they're on the board.
Exactly. Now they're on the board.
They're giving you a hard time, right?
Exactly. So there is a lot of challenges. And, again, with experience, you just learn how to navigate your way through that. You know,
you just do the best that you can do, and guide the board, you know, according to their documents in the Florida statute, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You just do your job and you just try to. What about you, Chris? You concur with that?
I do. One of the things that works best for me is the fact that I myself have been a board member for a deed-restricted community. And I think when I'm introduced to a board and they know that I wear the same hats that they do, share the same concerns that they have, and I think that helps them to become comfortable with me, knowing that I do have experience from their side and how to get something done.
Very true.
And we communicate on the same level many, many times. We're talking as people who have the same concerns and the wants, and they know that when I come in, it's all about property values and having the best property values for our communities.
Absolutely, which gives you kind of a unique perspective. But you know, based on that, you got board members that that don't comply with documents, and being a board member yourself, I mean, what kind of advice or how do you handle board members that just don't comply?
Well, a lot of diplomacy at times.
Yes, I would agree.
And some board members are very knowledgeable with Florida mm-hmm. statutes and their own documents, and other board members don't have a clue. Well, so we encourage, because it is Florida statute, that a new board member needs to sign.
When they get on the board, it's that they've read and understood the documents.
Right, and they have
correct.
To actually sign off on that, right? And that's HOAs as well as the condo associations.
And then there's a board basic class, I think, is what you're getting to.
Correct.
Right?
And Ameritech has different vendors, attorneys. We work with Bob Hogue School, and you know, we have those classes several.
Yeah, we bring the instructor
several
in.
Several times throughout
probably
the year.
Probably for about, six
correct.
To eight classes.
And that's open,
that class is free to the board members.
Open to any board member that wants to
which
take
we do,
that
which helps. We do our own classes in-house free to all our board members as well.
Correct, yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And she's a very good instructor, too. So, all right, so how do you say, how do you actually direct a board to do the right thing? You know, according to their documents and the Florida statute, how do you direct them? What kind of direction?
I always like to say heard.
Yeah, but
well, it's funny you use that term because one of my boards, I have a longtime board member, and he says it's like herding cats. If you ever tried
which is impossible,
right? You know, somebody's always going in a different direction. Certain people have agendas.
Right.
And they may not always be in line with the direction to, you know, the board.
For the community,
to go,
it might be a personal agenda.
So, you know, it's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
Well, the board has, as you guys know, has a fiduciary obligation to serve the best interests of all the homeowners and not just to have his own agenda, as you said, to specifically get something done. A lot of times they even get off the board after that. You know, you might have somebody that might want, you know, some architectural changes done that he couldn't get normally approved by the previous board. I mean, you've seen that happen, Chris,
yes,
on your property.
Yes. Yeah.
But even though that's in a perfect world, we do know that there are other people that get on the board for other reasons, and that may be unfortunate, but it happens. So
I take the approach because I have 30 years of legal experience. I deal with collections and litigation. I know what can happen if you stray or you really try to push something that's not there. I'm very open and honest and say, hey, you know, you can't do that.
Right.
Because I don't want to challenge anybody to challenge my license. And I'm there to guide. And I wouldn't be a good manager if I didn't tell them the truth of what could happen. I tell them, I'm not going to bail you out of jail if you start doing something that we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
There's a gentle way, but there's also an honest way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have to know.
And you've
yeah,
been
I like
always
that,
very candid and honest, Chris.
No way.
Over
she's
the
got,
12 years.
But she's got that background, which really helps
yeah,
a lot
exactly.
when you're dealing
yes.
with these situations
yeah.
in these communities.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
you know.
And you have to learn, too, how to be forceful
Right.
And be respectful.
Right. And that's a fine line there.
It can be at times, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So leading into that, what would you say is your job description as a community association manager? Bob, you want to answer that?
We run the everyday affairs of an association. We do inspections mm-hmm. once, twice a month. A lot of times we're on property a lot more than that. Violations, we deal with all the vendors.
Right. You're actually going out for bid with the contractors and
correct.
Presenting those. And then once they've been hired, you actually meet them on property to go over the specs of the job.
And, yep. And then week to week, if it's a lawn care, many times there's different things that come up during a week. And, you have to, somebody Absolutely. Wants something planted or something's dead. So we're in constant communication with all the vendors.
You're kind of like the backbone of the
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you keep
Yes.
everything running smoothly. What's your take on that, Chris?
No, that's absolutely true. I kind of look at it. I have a lot of experience with homeowners associations. So a lot of times, I'm taking care of a very big house. I make sure that all the bills get paid. Mm-hmm. I make sure that my grounds look right. I make sure that, when you're doing an inspection, you've got a certain kind of standard of living, depending on the community and depending on the requirements of the board and requirements of homeowners.
I like how you say my communities, because that's taking ownership.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Because if they see my vehicle with Ameritech, my communities portray who I am. And that's everything from how well they look to how financially secure they are. That's what we do as managers. We make sure to protect the property values.
I've seen some of our communities that you manage, as well as you, Bob, you and both you guys, mm-hmm. and they really look good. They're prestigious. You guys do a really good and outstanding job. So I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with that. Relationships and communication, gosh, it's imperative to communicate as a community association manager. So how do you go about doing that day-to-day and dealing with the boards in general?
I mean, communication, as you know, guys, is really important and critical.
Critical.
I think a lot of times we get in trouble with our boards, and it's not because we're not doing the job. I mean, I've had managers actually get everything done, but they just didn't tell them about mm-hmm. it. They didn't communicate that it was done or where they're at in that process of the action items, maybe getting paint specs or roof specs or whatever the case may be.
You just got to keep in touch with the board as the job is going along. So how do you work that? How do you handle that, Chris?
I think in today's time, the way technology is, information can be given immediately anywhere. We have tools that help us to communicate with our boards, with our homeowners, our system. We have the SYNC system, which does our property management. Out there, it provides information on violations. It provides information on financials. It provides information on work orders. We communicate via email, via text messaging.
Right.
Like you say, communication is very key. You go to a board meeting and we look at what our action items are. This is what's on my to-do list for this week or for this month. You prioritize. You get with your board and you say, okay, we've got six different items. What is the priority? And you just start at the top and you work your way down. And as you start getting information in on bids or different things where, you've completed a task, shoot out an email just to say, hey, just giving you a heads up, this is going to be done next week, or due to the rain or due to the frost that we had, we have to push it out a couple of days. Like you say, communication is key.
It's key. Yeah.
Which communicating in that frame builds the relationship.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's not always easy. It's not always easy, but we can get communication out 24/7. You know, like I said, with cell phones and text messaging and things like that.
Right.
And, that's what boards expect nowadays.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and that's a catch-22 because a lot of boards expect, we're portfolio managers, so we're not on site. We're not managing one community. We're there 8 hours.
Right.
Focusing on that community. So with the technology nowadays, everybody, can email from their phone. would, like you said, would sync. We have different things in place at Ameritech that makes communication easier. So it's harder on a manager because everybody wants to feel like you're only managing mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and that's really
that's hard. Yeah, they want
when you are managing.
They want
other
that feeling that they are important and that they don't want to hear that you have 10 other people that they have to call. You have to call before them because you need to make them feel special.
So that's all part of the communication because, in a professional, polite way, sometimes you need to reinforce that. You need to let them remind them of that fact. But that's why, the more you do for them, the more they see that you're out there on site. And that's why I feel it's really important to be on site as a manager. It's tough sometimes because we have to deal with so many emails and different things that we have to be
juggling
in the office.
Juggling all that, mm-hmm. right.
But really, a good manager needs to be seen and be on site. Right.
Well, that's where shaking hands. Absolutely.
That type of thing.
That's where trust and confidence also comes in, which is another very important component when it comes to being a community association manager. I mean, trust kind of goes hand in hand with confidence. I mean, if they believe you, if they understand you, and they have confidence in what you're doing, then they're going to trust that you're going to get the job done right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we know that it takes a special kind of personality to be a property manager. So you have to be diplomatic and you have to possess many traits, like I mentioned earlier, communication and follow through. So exactly, what do you feel does it take to be a really good manager? What do you feel your traits are that you bring to the table?
You have to be patient and you have to be humble.
Yes, okay. That's a good point.
Well, a lot of times, even if you're right, sometimes...
You're wrong.
You have to be wrong.
That's true.
Well, it does make you a better person dealing with a lot of people.
It does.
A lot of different personalities.
It does, but you always have to have that professional demeanor, no matter what.
I mean, for an example, you've got like probably around 10 properties, and if there's 5 board members on each, you're dealing with 50 different personalities.
That's right, and including, though, the homeowners that call in, so you're dealing with their issues as well. And
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In a professional manner.
Now, your sister over there, on the other hand, she's got a stronger personality, I think, than...
More direct.
Yeah, more direct.
From New York.
Tells it like it is, which really helps, too. So you can't... Humble and having that certain type of laid-back personality is critical, but at the same time, you got to be strong enough, right, Chris?
Yes.
To tell them what they need to know and maybe not what they want to hear.
Not necessarily what they want to hear. Right.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And it's important that they know that you know your stuff. And again, it goes back to when I'm first introduced to a board as a possible manager, they know that I wear the same hat they do. I have my same valid concerns. I live in a deed restricted community, and it's about the property values. As long as they know that I'm on their side, I really don't have a hard time, with board members and, different personality conflicts. Sometimes, if I see that I might have, a personality conflict with one, I might just say, hey, I'm from New York, I'm Italian, and I'm Irish, and oh boy, we could have trouble here. And we break the ice, and, I end up getting somebody going, oh my God, I'm, Irish and Greek or something. And,
right, I know.
You try to find... something
that you can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're both strong managers, and I think when you project that, that's where they get the trust and confidence
in
what your abilities are. And you're absolutely right. Yeah. You need to know your game going in, because if you don't, you got 5 people that are on the board, plus we have no idea how many homeowners are in that are going to really kind of challenge you.
Right. Right. If I see a Gator flag on their car or in their front,
well,
first thing I
right
say
there.
Is go, oh my God, go Gators.
And, I know, right? That's a quick connection. So what do you feel like some of the things as a property manager, what are some of the things that you do for your associations?
Well,
I know there's a lot.
Other than my normal duties, I have tools in my SUV. You'd be surprised the little repairs I do because it's just easier for me to do it. And maybe this isn't what you're looking at, but I'm just throwing this in.
No, go right ahead.
I mean, I've changed light bulbs.
You're going to be walking.
Fixed gates.
You're going to be dog sitting here real soon.
I mean, I think that's great that you do that, though.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good that you go over and above, but, you know, it's like we had one of our managers.
That dug ditches.
Well, that's Tony Toscano.
No, it was a female.
Well, we had one manager just recently where the board asked him to go pick up their Christmas party food at a deli, and he went ahead and did it. And I'm saying, you know, that's just a little bit too much because, you know, I think boards don't really realize what you're supposed to do versus what you're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And picking up, you know, a Christmas party food from a deli is not one.
Right. Pet sitting, yeah. As you mentioned a minute ago.
Pet sitting. Well, that's what's going to happen to him next. They're going to call
go grocery
say,
shopping.
Look, I want you to pet sit for my dog if you don't mind. You
grocery
know?
Shop.
So you got to be careful.
What will you do? When I mean, one time I actually, for a board member, he locked his keys in his house, so I actually picked his garage, his service door on his garage.
Just one of the many skills that you possess, huh, Bob?
He was actually kind of shocked how easy it was to do that. But, you know.
And that you could do it?
Yeah.
What did you do before this?
I know, right?
But I did know who it was.
It's my part-time job.
And they did live in that unit. So it wasn't like just somebody come up to me and say, hey, I
show
was
me your driver's
out.
License.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what are some of the other things you're not supposed to do, Chris? I mean, as a property manager, I mean, what would you not do?
Pick locks.
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to do that, but, you know.
The opposite of what Bob does. I, as a property manager, I think it's important for people to know we are not the sheriff's department. We are not 911.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people have issues, you know, there's strange kids in the pool or there's people going through the backyards. You don't call your property manager for that.
Right.
You know, there has to be where we have to draw the line where legally we could get in trouble for doing something. We could be charged with harassment or certain things like that. And I think a lot of homeowners do think that property managers, you know, you call us for everything. And, you know, it could be a Sunday afternoon. I got a phone call. You know, kids were in the swimming pool eating McDonald's, and it's against the rules, you know. And you just have to sometimes tell them, you know, I manage properties. You know, I don't manage a lot of times people.
Right.
But, you know.
No, that's a good point. There's no question about
it. No, that's a very good point. I like that, too. Right. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be right back in a couple of minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guests today are Chris Kelly and Bob Kelly. And they are, and the topic today, I'm sorry, is about managing community associations. So I'm going to go into this question for you guys. How important is it to have a good maintenance supervisor on site for, you know, typically a larger association? Because I know they can be your ears and eyes on the property. So give us a little take on that.
I have 4 properties that I manage that we do have a, 2 of them are full time and the other 2 are 3 days a week. And let me tell you, they are a huge help mm-hmm. because they can be your eyes and ears when you're not there. And they know the board members, they know the homeowners intimately.
They do.
And if you have a good
and that's key.
Person, mm-hmm. They do make the managers.
Oh, it's a team then.
And it's a team effort. And they can call you when something comes up. So sometimes you can put out a fire before anybody even knows about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a good maintenance out there. Good maintenance man is definitely the key.
Well, like you said earlier, Bob, you know, you want to be, but you can't be on the property every day. So, like, you know, so that person comes in handy. So it's nice to have.
Yes.
Tommy, you're winking at me. You got a caller for me?
First one up tonight is Mary, Mike.
Hey, Mary, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live on the air with Chris and Bob Kelly. What's your question?
Hi, everybody. My question is, talking about property managers, how much can they do or get away with? Like, can they just go and get a check cut and say, oh, it's for a vendor, you know, cut me $500 or $1,000 or, you know, I mean, can that happen? You know, do they need invoices before anything's cut? And what's the process
line there?
Yeah.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for the call. Yeah, there is a process. Every check, we need an invoice. Most boards review any checks. A lot of boards need to sign their checks that go out, and they will review those checks. So, you know, a lot of our checks that go out may be monthly vendor checks, so they don't really change that much unless something extra, you know, was added to it. But yeah, nobody can just walk in and ask for a check. There's a lot of checks and balances that go along with before somebody has a check in hand.
But typically,
and I'm sure a lot of homeowners think, oh, well, you know, maybe the manager's going, you know, cutting their own checks or, you know, having checks written to themselves or, you know, something. And you know, they don't really know what goes on behind the scenes.
No, it's a good question, Mary. And just let me elaborate a little bit more, if I may. What we do is we have a sync system, which is really our accounting program, and all those invoices get scanned into the program, and at which point the board then approves those invoices. So if somebody came in and wanted $500, and let's say they were doing a job out there, they would have to, you know, at the property, they would have to get that approved by the board, and then at that point we would then process that check. So it's not just going to say that, you know, Bob wants to go out to dinner with his wife, and, you know, he's going to take $500 out of the association's account, and, you know, have a good time, because if he's going to do that, he needs to take me with him. And how about you?
and also,
sure, I'll go along.
Also, every month, the financials are drafted for all the different associations monthly, and every check, every invoice that come in, every check that was cut is in the financials. So any board member, any homeowner in writing can ask. They can ask to see certain parts of the financials, but any homeowner has a right to ask in writing, then they can come in and look through our files and look at invoices. They would have to do that at our office. So there are checks and balances. If you know, if somebody thinks that there's some kind of
hanky panky,
yeah, going yeah. on, yeah. you know.
But you know, in the financial process as well, Mary, they get the bank statements, they get everything. Yeah. So you know, when they're actually looking at it, they got the receipts, the invoices, a disbursement report that matches up to all of the invoices, along with obviously an operating statement, balance sheet, budget comparison, general ledger. I mean. All that, it's a nice little thick packet, kind of like a mini audit that they get every single month, and the boards review that. And as Bob was saying earlier, homeowners have a right to ask for that. The only time the only exclusions are usually delinquent homeowners or employees or personnel.
Personnel, so. Right. Personal
and,
information.
And I'm sure that goes to the board also, that they can't just go in and get a check cut.
Correct.
So there's safety there. Yes.
Right. Not without an invoice. There's got to be a check and balance. I mean, and that's what we have.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, that sounds, a little relief, to anyone listening out there. You just can't go in and have any kind of, check written without a backup.
Right. Mary, thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thanks. Great
thank
show.
Thank you. Have a good night. All right, Tommy, I think we have more callers on the line.
Yes, Nancy's next.
Hi, Nancy. You're on the air live with Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. Do you find that there's a lot of boards who have members that really don't know what they're doing or what their job is as a board member?
That's a good question. Who wants to answer that, Bob or Chris?
I'll answer that.
That is so true, isn't it, Chris?
It is. Maybe it starts out like that, but if you've got a good manager, you educate them, and then they end up knowing what it is that they're doing, and I think they appreciate it. You got to remember that board members are just homeowners. And some board members, like we said earlier, get on the board because they have a personal agenda. They want to see certain things done. Some board members get on the board because of what our last caller, Mary, had said. They're just concerned that maybe, their property management company is taking their money. Nancy, we do have, like Bob had said before, there is a class that board members can take. It lets them know what their responsibilities are. It is very good guidance for board members. And I think that a lot of times, like I said, they're just everyday people who do different types of jobs. And not necessarily do they know what the Florida statute is and what is required. They get on the board because they want to see their lawns look better, the houses better maintained, the swimming pool cleaned, the streets and stuff like that. So we welcome anybody who wants to get on the board, anybody who truly does care about their community and seeing that it's properly maintained. So they come on maybe not knowing, but hopefully by the time their term is up, they've become a really good, strong, knowledgeable board member.
And we also, Nancy, get a lot of retired attorneys and doctors.
That's true.
A lot of CPAs, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those are always welcome to the board because they bring a lot of
knowledge.
They
bring a lot to the table.
And then we got general contractors. I mean, we get a lot of retirees that get on these boards, and they do bring a wealth of knowledge and experience to,
we had this one board where the president was a former judge, the treasurer was a CPA, and there was an attorney, an active attorney on the board. It was quite interesting personalities.
And if I may
that
say,
was one board.
That was a very well-run board.
It was. It was very well-run. So I hope we've answered your question.
Community.
Yeah, right? Have we answered your question, Nancy?
Yes, you did.
Thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate it.
Have Tommy, a good night. We got some more on hold. Let's take these calls.
Sure, Mike. Next up is Nanette, but her friends call her Nan.
Nan, okay. Hey, Nan, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're live with Chris and Bob Kelly. What's your question?
Hi. In light of keeping our properties neat and clean and together, I was wondering, who does a maintenance man report to?
That's a good question, Bob.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, if the association has a maintenance man, his first line should be the manager. But a lot of times I find that the maintenance person will have a very good, close relationship with one of the board members because they are on site all the time. So a lot of times a manager will just defer a little bit, step back, and always make sure they're in the loop. But I have found that to be true. But the manager should always be involved in whether it's a smaller or major issue. We should know about everything going on.
And Nan, a lot of times there's ground keeping committees and landscaping committees that are appointed to be in charge of that maintenance man. So there might be one committee member that he might take his orders from. But we'll always like to try to get it down to one person that individual is following direction from, you know, without getting conflicting direction going.
And that could be a board member or the manager, depending on, you know, who's in power at the time. You know, some board members, you know, they take charge, and that's fine. Just as long as everybody knows the chain of command.
So how would I know who to contact if I had a raving review for a maintenance man or a complaint?
I would contact the management company and put your complaint or raving review in writing, send it to them, and the property manager will then communicate that to the board.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully it's a raving review and not a complaint. But,
right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Nan, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Tommy, I think we have one more caller on the line.
Yes, Kimberly's next. Hopefully her phone isn't going to die on you.
Oh, okay. Hopefully not. Kimberly, are you there? You've reached the Ameritech Connection. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Quick, the question before your phone dies.
My question, it's going to do good.
Oh, okay.
My question is, how do you become a property manager?
Oh, okay. That's interesting. We haven't talked about that.
Chris,
would you like to answer that?
Hi, Kimberly. Are you interested in becoming a property manager?
Well, I'm not, because I know people that are and they work their butts off. But my sister is retiring as a Pinellas County Sheriff deputy in April, and she wants to continue working. She just doesn't want to do any more deputy work.
Gotcha. Well, the first step is to go online and you look for a real estate school. You have to take a course. They have them all over the county, Hillsborough, Pinellas, Pasco County, you know, various areas. We work very closely with Bob Hoag. That's where I got my license with. They have a lot of real estate classes. I did a weekend class, a Saturday and Sunday. I personally enjoy interaction with an instructor, asking questions, hearing questions that maybe the other people in the class have. After you take your class, you get a certificate. Then you have to fill out an application. You have a background check, and all that gets done. And once all the checks and balances are done with the state, they will go ahead and email you and let you know that your background check and all of that came through. And you will go and you take a test. Once you take a test, you have to get, I believe it's still over 75% or higher. If you take the test and you pass it, you will get your license.
Then that's the beginning. Then you got to go into training.
Then you got training.
Right. It all begins. The fun begins.
Yeah. It is a unique position. I know I've been in property management for 30 years, my entire life. And I will say that it's very rewarding. I know in the 2007 crisis, when the real estate market took a dump, there was a lot of realtors out there that couldn't sell real estate. And you've seen them, you know, in the different restaurants serving and playing waitress and waiter and that type of thing. Whereas property managers, we kind of sailed right through it. Yeah, it was a little more difficult to manage those properties because a lot of them were in foreclosure.
Right.
But they still need a property manager to manage the property. So it's been a rewarding career for me. And even though sometimes I've always said to myself, what did I do in a previous life to deserve this chosen occupation of mine? It has been challenging at times, but I've enjoyed it immensely. So we wish you the best of luck in that regard.
Yes, we wish your sister the best of luck as well.
Definitely. And I want to share something. I have family that actually are managed by you guys, and you guys have excellent property management. I mean,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to share that as well. That's another reason why I'm calling in.
Well, we appreciate that very much.
Tell your sister when she gets her license to give us a call. We have a great training program for new managers, and we'd be happy to sit down and
train them the Ameritech way.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Keep listening. We're going to be right back.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trout Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com. Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in overtreating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Meritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is property managers Bob Kelly and Chris Kelly. And our topic is all about managing community associations. So, Chris and Bob, Ameritech prides itself on returning phone calls. So what happens when you don't do that in a timely fashion?
Other than getting yelled at by me.
Yes. I mean, you get strung up. And no, seriously, though, what happens?
Yeah, answering your phone calls is very important. The problem is, again, we're in this time when instant communication. So Ameritech prides itself on returning calls and emails within 24 hours. Well, nowadays, 24 hours is an eternity. So
for the person waiting.
Exactly. Because yes. They can't understand why can't somebody answer me now. So that is a challenge for a lot of the managers because we get a lot of phone calls. A lot of them are small things. So at Ameritech, we're always working how to streamline, how to help the managers and the other departments work more efficiently. So that's something that we're working on right now is actually how to streamline our phone calls to make sure they go to the right departments.
Right, to the right person so that they can get their questions answered in a timely fashion.
Correct.
Well put, Bob. Bob, let me ask you something. You guys attend all board meetings, right?
Yes.
All right. How important is it for you as a manager, both you guys as managers, to participate in these board meetings? I mean, I've been to properties that I've owned that we've had other management companies managing the property, and I've sat out in the audience, and the property managers just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like that.
Just sat there, didn't participate. Impressed. You could feel that the board was kind of leaning over towards them saying, you know, hey, we need a little guidance here. And just didn't get any guidance. Now, I know that's not the case with the Ameritech managers, but why don't you share that with our listeners, if you would?
I think one of the things that I do in my meetings is I do try to conduct the meeting. We have a really good agenda I think that if you've got a strong manager, you make sure everything is done timely. If my meeting is at 6:30, and a lot of times board members are talking with homeowners that come in, homeowners will come in and they'll have issues and they want to, you know, let the board member know. And, you know, you're looking at the clock and the next thing you know, it could be 6:45 and we should have started 15 minutes ago. As a manager, I allow people to communicate. They come in to talk, and I keep my eye on the clock. And when it's 6:30, I open the meeting asking for a motion to open it. I think it helps board members to keep order. It is easier for a board member to just deal with what's on the agenda. I think by having a strong manager that leads the meetings, a lot of times it keeps the homeowners that might have issues, and they come in and they just want to get it out of their system if they've got an issue with their neighbor or something like that. I think when they come in and they let us continue in the order in which our agenda is, by the time we get to where we have an open session, a lot of times they're much more calm.
Absolutely. It keeps it from running away from you. You know?
Yes, exactly.
And then next thing you know, you're at a board meeting that lasts for 2 hours.
Correct.
And you get
3 hours.
Absolutely nothing
Correct.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I know. And that's frustrating for all.
And that's why a lot of people do not want to become board members, because they don't want to be involved in something where, my gosh, I'm sitting out there on a Tuesday night and, you know, 3 hours sitting in a board meeting, and really all it was people complaining. Mm-hmm. But it shows, you know.
Well, it is a thankless job, you know, being a board member, unpaid as well. Yes. So, all right, guys. Oh, manager's report. What exactly is that? Can you tell our listeners?
You know, depending on, you know, what you had for action items that month, it could be very lengthy and extensive. Or you know, it could be very short and brief.
Depends on what's going on.
Yeah, but usually it's a recap of what was asked of you to, you know, it could be getting paint quotes, or it could be
your action item.
Meeting with attorneys, you know.
Delinquencies, non-compliance.
Correct.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So that would all usually be encompassed in your manager's report.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
How involved is a property manager in the budget and reserve calculation process? Chris or Bob? I don't care which one.
I'll start with this. On my end, except for one of my boards who, before I manage them, they handle, you know, most of what they do, but I'm in the process. All my other boards, I'm in there I get the whole thing put together before they even see a draft of it.
So you do the draft initially. You get that all taken care of.
Correct.
And then once the draft is all done, and that includes the reserve analysis?
Yes.
Now you do it based on what, a straight line method?
Yes. And then what's important, not every year, but at least every 3 years on your major, your roof, your paving, and your painting, you really want to make sure that you have up-to-date quotes.
Benchmark bids, if you will.
Correct.
Right.
Because then you also need to know your remaining life.
Right.
And from those numbers, you make your calculations. It's pretty simple to figure out how much you need in your reserves.
Okay. Now, that draft then goes to the board members, correct?
We'll usually email it to the board members. And what Ameritech offers, and all of my boards use this, is we offer budget workshops.
Right.
And we have the boards come into our office. We have it set up in our conference room with the computer and a big screen. And we go line by line, every line item. We'll go down.
Oh, that's good.
And we'll discuss it. And then sometimes the boards will take my rough draft and we'll make changes.
They'll tweak it.
Right. Right. They'll talk about it. And then homeowners are also allowed to be at these meetings.
I like that, because then every board member understands, you know, where the money's going to and for what, in case they get asked that question.
Yeah.
And when it is tweaked, they then adjust the maintenance fees as well. So you can kind of see the progress up and down on, you know, let's say they wanted to do a big landscaping project and add $10,000 to the budget. Maintenance fees might go up $2 a month.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's really important.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Of course, our job is to try to keep those maintenance fees as low as possible. But
absolutely,
you know what? That's something we're running into, though. That's a good benchmark. We don't want to raise fees, but sometimes you have to, because I don't know about you, but everything in my world goes up every year. So
yes.
To be realistic.
Well, I think we're in your world too, there.
Yeah.
Bob, so you know.
You know. So you know, we try to, but a lot of times it may be better for a little increase. you know, a little bit of medicine, you know, so.
We get it. Well, it's all about property values. I mean, you know, and part of protecting property values is maintaining the property.
Absolutely.
And you can't maintain the property with an adequate, with an inadequate budget. And certainly keeping the maintenance fees down, too, also enhances and protects property value. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, and then even for sales, for if a unit goes, you know, up for sale, we get real estate agents are always asking for a copy of the current budget because they want to see that you're fully funded and that, you know, because a bank may not give them a loan if the budget doesn't look good.
Yeah. Property inspections are critical to a well-run organization. So what are you looking for when you do them? I mean, I know that you're looking for any non-compliance issues. And also, what else?
Well, I think it depends on the property itself. If you're managing a condominium association, a lot of times the condo association is responsible for the building. So if you're doing a property inspection, you might be looking, we're looking at the stucco, maybe we're looking at the wood, we're looking at staircases, we're looking at, you know, stairwells, we're looking at areas for preventative maintenance. You just want to make sure that as you do your property walk, if you're noticing that you might have some little areas of cracking in the stucco, well, you want to make sure that you note it and you get it taken care of before half of the side of the building is coming off.
Interesting. So you're actually like doing some preventative maintenance,
correct,
then, right?
Correct.
I got a question for you guys. I mean, give me an owner that's been really difficult. I mean, how many owners do you deal with that are extremely difficult, that cuss and yell and scream? Who knows? Maybe they got a non-compliance letter in the mail or whatever the case may be. And how do you handle those kind of customers, Bob?
That's a good question because I have a gentleman. I have one association where we have some sinkhole issues, and I need access into one building because it's the attorney needs to get the engineer in. So I had to call a gentleman who so we can have access into his unit, and it's been going on for over 4 years, way before I started managing them. He flew off the handle, swearing at me the F word, and I really, you know, I had to be patient, and I talked him through it.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I know. Right. We appreciate that very much. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Keep listening. We're going to be right back with that and much more.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.